Welcome to the Michael Yu Podcast. We have a very special guest today. It's Jessica Chen from our office. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for being part of the podcast. So Jessica is a multi-award-winning real estate agent here in Vancouver and a very, very important member of our office. So Jessica, why don't you start with just kind of the story, your origin story.
Sure. thank you, Michael. I've been selling real estate now for about 17 years. I started as an assistant to a very reputable local developer, and he taught me great habits, taught me the right way of doing real estate, and I'm so thankful for him. I worked with him for about a year and a half at RE/MAX Real Estate Services, and then from there went on my own, and it's 17 years later. So it's been quite an interesting journey.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So you got started as an assistant for a developer.
I did. And he had a very interesting type of business. Mm-hmm. All his clients were just referrals. Okay. He never did any advertising, and it was people who knew who he was. Mm-hmm. And I learned the value and the base of relationships right off the start. There was no lead generations. We didn't do cold calling or door knocking. It was purely based on referrals. So it was a really interesting way of learning the business. Mm-hmm. Very different from the textbook.
Yeah, for sure. Because once you read all the real estate books, it really, really dives deep into prospecting. So you learned it from a totally different angle when you first got started. So how did you apply that to your own independent practice?
Well, first of all, I did try the textbooks. I was surrounded by some of the top producers in the industry, Andrew Hassman, Faith Wilson, right. Robin Verba, and I watched them work. And they were always very open to share how their business was like. Wow. So not only did I do the door knocking and lead generation on my own, I also realized that the reason why I worked so well with this developer was that I gravitated to his style of business. Mm-hmm. And I learned very quickly that if you force something that's not you, people see it, you feel it, and it shows up in your business. So I gradually adapted his style.
So you don't believe in, like, fake it till you make it?
I'm sure there's a bit of that in everywhere. But, yeah, you know, you have to try different ways to find what works. Mm-hmm. And also, as we develop our business and as we mature, those things also change too, mm-hmm. right? So what works now may not work a year from now. And I think being open to that is what makes my career being selling real estate for 17 years still fun mm-hmm. at most times.
Yeah. So you'd say you're pretty adaptable. Do you think that that's
do you think that's
a really important thing? Because, you know, we hear a lot of agents and a lot of business people, they just kind of power through using the same methodology year in and year out.
Right.
I'm kind of like one of those people. So, like, I'd love to hear a little bit more about that.
I do. I feel like we learn from the people around us. And if we're not listening to the people around us, we become, I see of it as like a straight line, right? Mm-hmm. You're just a straight line going straight. But if we don't just kind of see that there are turns and that you can go up, you can go down, there's no growth. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, here's an example. Coming to Oakwin 2 years ago, I've learned so much from agents that I've never met in the industry before mm-hmm. For 15 years. And they allowed me to grow in 2 years being here because mm-hmm. I've learned how to look at business differently. And again, not that it all applies to what I do now, but just being open to it.
Right.
I think one thing as realtors need to know that we're constantly evolving. And when you think you know it, you don't. You're going to learn something new.
Right.
And I'm open to that. I'm always open to that. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's very important.
So what were some of those things that you learned then, like today, particularly?
I love how some of these agents that I've met and developed friendships with have a different type of drive. Like for me, example, I've always used real estate. It's been my passion. It's been my career. It's been my business. It's been my livelihood. Mm-hmm. But I've met some agents who have used real estate as an avenue to reach their dreams of, you know, let it be another business, being a restaurateur, or developing and mm-hmm. building their own townhome complex. But it wasn't just selling to your clients and your friends and family. It mm-hmm. was, where can I take this to? And I thought that was very inspiring because, quite honestly, I saw it as, how do I service my clients?
Right.
Yeah.
For sure. So how has that changed your practice, or is it been a...
It has, and it allowed me to explore, is this something I wanted to do? Or is this something my team wanted to do? And does it align with my personal goals with my family? What seems like a great idea on paper, not necessarily can be what's right for you at this time in your life. And that's the kind of things that allow me to question our business, which was great. You know, and, and it allowed me to make decisions. You know, do I want a big team? Do I want a small team? Do I want to have five buyer's agents? These are the kind of questions. Like, it all sounds great.
Right.
But when it really comes down to it, is this what you want for your personal life balance or your career?
Yeah, I think that there's always a balance between, like, what you think you should do or other people think you should do versus what you actually truly want to do. And, you know... sometimes it takes, it was really interesting. Yesterday I went, it was a nice fall, like it's fall now here in Vancouver, and I went on a, like, I went on a long walk. And I don't know, how do you spend a lot of time in introspection, Jess?
Not enough. I'm being very honest, not enough. Yeah. I actually have a goal sheet that's in on my bathroom mirror every morning that I look at. And I actually have to remind myself to go for walks.
Yeah.
Because I don't spend enough time just... being on my own and just reflecting on that day or that week or the month.
Yeah.
And I think we're always so caught up in our everyday that it, I definitely need to do it more.
Yeah. know, it's, I think we do, like you're saying, like we do certainly get caught up, and especially with, you know, all the distractions, phone and like things that they're just kind of coming into your, like all this information coming at you all the time. I think we're losing a lot of that introspection and reflection, which I think is very, very important for us as in our business to really make improvements and to kind of see what's coming down the road versus just like what's right in front of us as well. So it's kind of, you know, these are the things. So you mentioned that you have like a goal list. Tell me about that goal list in your bathroom and like where did that come from? Where'd you learn that?
So that's very, that's a great question. I started coaching with Brian Buffini, I would say about 6 years ago now. And it was a fellow realtor who was tired of hearing me vent, who said, you need to come to this event that I'm invited to. Brian Buffini was in town. And I went, and I thought, oh, this is really great. Thank you so much. That was a great two-day seminar. Bye-bye.
Right.
And he said, well, I signed you up for coaching. And I went, what? No way. It's $700 a month. No way. I'm not doing that. And he goes, oh, yes, you are. So I thank him. He did. And it changed the way I do my business.
Wow.
And it changed my personal life. So interestingly enough, I know a lot of people would go to a business coach and say, I want to do 100 deals. I want to be medallion. I want to make X amount of money. But when I met my coach, my question was, how do I balance my life, my work, and personal life? That was just my goals. So one of the forms that she gave me was short-term goals, long-term goals, and daily goals. And this is just a one-pager that you fill out, and I have it on my mirror. It's a little old and faded. and all my goals were actually all personal. It was about spending time with my children or my husband or taking a day off. And I think the why those were my goals was because I did real estate way before I was a realtor. And it was my baby. I loved it. And it was my passion. It was my career. So it took me a while to figure out how to adjust and put something, my family, priority to what was such a big part of my life prior to them coming. So that's how that goal setting came into place when I started coaching.
So how did that shift your business, the doing the coaching and doing the goal setting the way that you did?
I became a much better realtor because I was becoming a better mother and wife to my family, and I was able to give at a higher level to everyone. Knowing that I didn't feel the stress of the guilt as a working mother, and that allowed me just to be more clear. And when you tell your clients that, I'm sorry, I can't make that appointment, it's my son's soccer game and I've got to be there for them, there's a respect there that I didn't realize you would have. I thought it would seem like I wasn't servicing my client,
right?
But you set boundaries, and setting boundaries just allow you to perform in a higher capacity.
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone's a little bit different, and I think some people can get obsessed. Yes. I don't know. Do you think you were obsessed with...
I was.
Yeah.
To be very honest, I was. I tell a little story. When I gave birth to my first son,
right.
I had my assistant come... I sent my husband out to get coffee. Oh, and Jose, if you're listening, now you know the truth. I sent my husband to go to Tim Hortons to get me coffee, but I don't drink coffee. And when he left, I had my assistant come in and bring two contracts in for me to sign and witness and review. And for her to leave before he came back.
Oh my! Wow.
So I closed.
That's like adultery. For you.
Exactly. That. Oh jeez. But I literally closed two deals for my clients, probably within 2 hours of giving birth to my first son.
Oh my God!
And I just didn't know how. I didn't know that that was crazy. I thought that was. I'm still doing my job.
That's hilarious. And sad.
You're so right. You're so right. And I look back at it now, and you're absolutely right. Yeah. But at that moment, I was obsessed with my career, and I never wanted to let my clients down. I thought I would if I didn't do that.
So where do you think that came from exactly?
My mother.
Yeah?
Yeah. The drive comes from my mother. I grew up a single mother, and she is an incredible source of strength. And I think that adversity in your life also pushes you to have a drive that people who grow up, who don't feel maybe that getting up in the morning and going to a job that you don't have to clock in and out for,
right?
It's not as motivating. I think that the drive definitely comes from just growing up as a single mom. You get up, you go do, you put your breakfast together, your lunch, you go to school, you come home, you do your homework. My mom was working the whole time, so.
Yeah. So were you alone a lot as a kid?
I was.
Yeah.
I was alone a lot. Yeah, there's the imaginary brothers and sisters I talked to.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, this is too much information.
Again, too deep.
Yeah.
So what's your relationship with your mom right now?
Amazing. She is, again, continuous source of strength, and she's great grandmother, and she's always been very, very supportive of my career and also very proud.
Yeah. So early on, obviously, you witness your mom being super hardworking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everyone has role models, right?
Yes.
So I guess your mom would be one of your role models.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any other role models that you have that or mentors that you potentially...
I think all the women in my family have always been very strong. My grandmother, just the story of how my grandmother, my grandfather came to Canada and how they left Shanghai during the war. Just learning all that history, you know, he came with 6-7 children and $5 in his pocket, and there's just so much. You know, I've been very fortunate to be born here.
Yeah.
And I think my grandmother, my grandfather, just great role models. I've been very fortunate just to have very strong people in my life, and a lot of them come from my family.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you're still very close with your family?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so especially you must have a lot of cousins.
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And like uncles and aunts and stuff. Yes. Like that. Are your grandparents still around?
No, unfortunately they're not. Both set of my grandparents aren't anymore, but definitely left a lasting mark in my life. And then knowing that my grandparents came with 7 children and $5 in their pocket, my uncle, who has been very successful restaurateur, it's really amazing to watch him too, from a young child, open up start with one restaurant and many after that, and came from very humble beginnings also.
Right. Well, you know, the growing up, I find that like there's certain, have you heard of nature versus nurture before?
Yes.
Yeah, so like there's things that just are in your DNA, and then there are things that you get, obviously, like, you know, you acquire skills and stuff like that. So, you know, obviously, growing up, you know, in Canada, in, you know, with some adversity, obviously, like, what do you think, how much of that contributed to your drive, the nurture section? How much would be like the nature section? So like, just because obviously your grandparents like voyaged here, 7
yes.
children, $5, so it's a little bit in your DNA.
You're right, you're absolutely right. That's a great question. I wouldn't be able to put a percentage to it. I think, you know, it's half and half, I guess. And again, I've also always been taught from my mother, no matter what we do and what we go through and our successes, ups and lows, is just really stay humble and appreciate where you are and what you have and the people around you. So that is a big part of my everyday, and that's something that I always constantly remind my team, is we are as good as the people around us.
For sure. Right? Yeah. So how do you remind yourself of that? Is it just something, do you have like a physical or a mental check or something like that, or what do you think it is?
I think it's just in me. There is no check. I think it's just in me, just to be very grateful and to always know, like, this is a saying that my mother used to say to me. She goes, "There's always someone bigger and better."
Yeah.
Right? There's always someone bigger and better. Mm-hmm. And do I strive to be that bigger and better? No, but I strive to be better, just better. And if, like, you know, with real estate, Michael, there are times where you win some and you lose some, and every time you win or lose, there's something to take away from it.
Yeah.
And
there's a lesson there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how I remind myself and the team, and even my kids.
What's the hardest lesson you've learned in real estate?
That's a great question. The hardest lesson I've learned in real estate. You know, I think when you're dealing with people and you're dealing with emotion and you're dealing with clients who have worked so hard to pay off that home that they've been living in for 50 years, or they have been working so hard, 3 jobs, to save up for that down payment to purchase a home for their family. I think the greatest lesson, hardest lesson I've learned was having, I'm trying to find a way of how to put this, so it's just watching the business, you know, watching the industry not be regulated, the industry lacking regulation that had put these hardworking people and at risk of, or not valuing what they've done. So I want to say that in a way that, you know, I think the hard part is just to witnessing that not everyone has the same respect and the same appreciation for your fellow neighbor.
Yeah, I think that is, I think most realtors that have been doing it for as long as Jess and, you know, as long as myself, we've seen some pretty shameful behavior.
That's right.
And, you know, and it really, you know, if you have a heart, like, it's really hard to swallow, especially these are hardworking, good people, and they trust your professionalism and they trust you, and getting put into poor positions and stuff like that is just... So having that education, that regulation, and the quality, kind of raising the bar and the standards of quality, I think is something that I know Jessica has a huge passion for. Within our office, you know, like, pump Jessica's tires a bit.
Oh, God, Michael, you're starting to make me turn red right now. But
yeah. You know, people see Jessica as quite a bit of a leader in our office. And, you know, a lot of the realtors go to Jessica to ask for her advice and opinions on a moral, whether it's a moral compass, whether it's like a little bit of a push, or whether it's, like some bravery, some grit. You know, I think a lot of agents, and she's been so amazing in being able to have earnest and genuine conversations with those people, especially a lot of the women, you know, as well, because I think that, you know, I think everyone has a part feminine and masculine side of them.
Right.
And so, but, you know, Jessica really embraces that. I think when we were, we have an event every year, the Women of Oakland event, we call Woo.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see, you know, Jessica mingling alongside of a lot of the agents, and we've really taken that notice. So tell me a little bit about that. So being a, you know, a woman in real estate, do you think that is, how's that experience?
That's great. Well, first of all, thank you, Michael. And thank you for welcoming to Oakwin, because I have made some great relationships with the other agents here, and it's been wonderful. Now, women of real estate, well, there is, you know, I don't, I, I had a question, and if I could be really open and frank here, I had a question from a fellow realtor, female, and she asked me, she says, I really need to speak to you. And I said, okay. And she says, I have to ask you something. And I said, how do you become successful without being called the B word?
Oh, right.
And I went, wow, what a great question. That's such a great question.
You can swear on this pod.
Oh, can I? I didn't want to go there. But I think everyone knows. Yeah. And I thought, such a great question. And that made me reflect. And I said, you know, reality is, unfortunately, I've come across that several times in my career. And I look at it as a compliment. Because, you know, I'm kicking ass. Mm-hmm. There's my spirit. Yeah. And being called that, or I had another... I had my assistant tell me one day, oh, these people were knocking on the door and saying, what is the shark doing, asking questions about what I do? And I go, well, if people are curious, that means they want to know, they recognize your success. Mm-hmm. And they can use whatever words or mannerism. I'm going to take it as a compliment,
right.
And I'm going to just say that means I'm standing out,
mm-hmm.
right? I am obviously standing out in what I do or who I am, and I do feel that being a woman in this industry and also raising a family and being a full-time realtor has maybe given me some of that B identity, but I'm not gonna, that doesn't get me down at all.
Really? So yeah. Has it ever, like, so deep down, it hasn't bothered you at all? Like,
you know, Michael, I have to say, no. Because if I feel that, I mean, everyone wants to be accepted. Everyone wants to be liked in any way. It's not real estate, just in any circle.
Right.
And I think that, it goes back to that strength. It goes back to that, just looking at the glass, you know, half full versus half empty.
Right.
Right.
So that optimism, so that you have, obviously, mm-hmm. like, it's unusual to take something bad, like, you know, obviously being called names, like shark and other things, and then to try to convert that into a positive thing for your life,
mm-hmm.
which is, it's definitely unusual. So where does that, like, optimism, like, derived from? Was your mom like that, or?
Yeah, you know, I she just kept going. Yeah, she absolutely was. And it goes back to the thing where I always say to my kids is that, why put negativity in this world? Put positivity. And if there's negativity around you, kill it with positivity. And maybe that's where my optimism comes from. It's
right.
There's no point wasting any energy on negativity.
Mm-hmm.
It could come from a good place and come from a bad place, but we'd just be adding to it. So, yeah, I don't know if it's... I don't know. I guess it just comes in me.
So yeah. I'd like to know, speaking about your kids, I want to know about parenthood. So, like, what mm-hmm. does that mean? Like, what does that mean to you, and how has that changed your life?
It's an absolute gift. It's a gift. You're a teacher for life. That's how it's changed my life.
Okay.
You're a teacher for life. So everything I do, how I work, my work ethics, my everything I do, they are absorbing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm creating. They are going to be a creation of how my husband and I run our family.
Right.
And Simon Sinek, who I love watching his
TED Talks.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He's amazing. And one of the ones that he did, his famous one, is the one about millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And that hit home to me because I constantly think about what I do or how I lead by example is going to create how my children come out and how they treat the universe, their neighbors, their family, and just how they develop as a, you know, hopefully respectful gentlemen.
So, yeah. You know, that moral code, that, like, that ethical code, you know, it can get cloudy because there's mm-hmm. There's so many sources of information now. I think, you know, maybe even when we were growing up, like, your parents are basically a huge source of information, but now there's just, like, you know, people are being bombarded with media and, you know, like, other influences.
Right.
So it's really hard to have that moral compass and moral code, I think, with a lot of the young people now.
Yes.
Like, Which I think that the changes in the horizon, but even the idea of like loyalty, to,
yes,
you know, and sacrifice,
yes,
is things that aren't really talked a lot about. And you know, I think a lot of and I noticed this about Jess as well, is that, you know, she's process oriented, but with the results in mind.
Right.
Versus, I think a lot of people just want the results and
correct.
They don't, yeah. So, and which is really, you know, it's kind of. Because obviously I work with a lot of new, like younger people, and I get to kind of see that side of it too. So
yes.
what are your thoughts? So like, you know, when you got started in real estate, obviously being a young person in,
mm-hmm.
in real estate, you know, obviously doing a little bit assistant work for a year and a half, which isn't a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, learning kind of from that perspective first. So jumping in your first year, full-time realtor, you were an independent agent?
Yes, I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hungry. Like, literally.
Yeah.
It was tough.
Yeah.
It was really tough. I remember that year, Christmas, I didn't have money to buy my best friend a Christmas gift. I remember that.
Mm.
And I think I wrote her an IOU. It was extremely tough, but again, I was around some of these amazing agents who were so open and sharing, and that, you know, I didn't feel like I was alone.
Yeah.
And you know, I always had a door to knock on.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that and actually knocking on the door and asking for help
mm-hmm.
are two different things, right?
Yeah.
So it was really tough. And I think it was a good, you know, three, four years of just building. And I call it seeding, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of realtors will come to me and says, you know, I've been out there door knocking or doing cold calling, or I've been talking to my neighbors and it's been 6 months and nothing's happened. Well, we invest in our relationships.
Yeah.
And nothing may happen 6 months, may not happen a year.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do things with integrity, those people will remember. When that time comes, they will call on you.
Mm-hmm.
And it does get hard, right?
Yeah.
And I totally get it with these, you know, this market the way it is and how realtors are getting just don't have the motivation or discouraged. It's so normal. It's
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you a bad realtor.
Right.
We're all feeling it.
Yeah.
So, and I think embracing that and just going, okay, how do we work together?
Mm-hmm.
How do we cooperate? How do we help each other get through parts of your career that, you know, may not be as fruitful? So,
right. So let's talk about the trajectory. So
okay.
You're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. I hope you don't mind sharing this, and we can edit it out if you don't mind. If you don't want to. So, how many sales did we do on the first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year? Do you remember?
See, Michael.
Yeah.
I know this is one thing you and I talked about in
right.
the past. I don't know my numbers, but I could say this. I don't know my numbers, but I could tell you this. My best years have been after having family,
mm-hmm.
right? And my best years come from not so much the numbers, but the time I spent working.
Mm.
So efficiency,
yeah,
processes, like support. My best years have been years for numbers of deals, have been years where we have, it's smooth and we could do more because it was, everything was just a flow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I think our best year was probably 2016,
mm-hmm.
I think it was. And we hit 72 deals.
Wow.
So, and that was just myself and Jason
mm-hmm.
and an assistant. So it was a great year. And again, remember, I'm not motivated by hitting 100 or hitting 200. That's
mm-hmm.
just my motivation is being able to do great business and having working with people who, clients who respect your time
right.
and value you and still making it to every single soccer game
yeah.
for the season. That's what drives me.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's such a, you know, to see the trajectory of somebody's business, you know, is pretty amazing. And you learn all these valuable lessons along the way. especially, you know, 17 years, almost 20-year anniversary, which is kind of, like, weird to
You just aged me. You just totally aged me.
No, you just started very young.
I started at 16.
Well, you just started very young, right? Like, yeah. And so did you do anything before you became a realtor?
Ah, that's a great question. So my background's always been in sales and marketing.
Okay.
Went to BCIT in 1999, had a great... Oh, gosh, I aged myself again. had a really good experience there because, I mean, when I finished high school, I said, no, I'm never going back to school. It just wasn't my thing.
Right.
I worked in UBC, the UBC bookstore, and I met all these great friends from all these different backgrounds and different countries, different motivation, and they inspired me. And I went back to school, quit my job, and again, I was living on my own since I was 19 years old, too, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, saved up money, quit my job, went back to school, had a wonderful 2 years at BCIT, and got into a marketing and sales position at Acme Humble Pie Company.
Okay.
And here's a mentor for you right there, Lorna Stewart. She owned a small little company. She was an entrepreneur, and she was a big positive part of my life in that beginning part of my career.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for her, and it was just using everything we learned at BCIT and just go out media blitz, everything organically.
Yeah.
And that actually, you know, it made me...
What type of company was that?
Oh, it's a client appreciation company.
Okay.
So listen to this. This is, she was in corporate business and she says, you know, people make mistakes, but they don't know how to make up for it. When you make I'm a believer that when you make a mistake, how you make up for that mistake and owning up to it is what makes you shine.
Right.
Right? So she created this company. It's called Humble Pie. You eat humble pie. So she literally had sourced out this baker who made these very high-end apple pies.
Oh, okay.
And what she did was she actually, she packaged it. Mm-hmm. Handmade package, customized to who you would send a humble pie to.
Oh, wow.
So my job was to go out and attain accounts. Mm-hmm. So I walked into TELUS, Shaw, BC Hydro. I walked into these big companies and said, mm-hmm. I know there are times we make mistakes. How do you make up for them? And I would get these accounts and they would order pies and send them out to...
It's a great idea.
Isn't it a great idea? Yeah. It wasn't just flowers, and it wasn't you know, a man sending a woman. Yeah, exactly, right? So it was wonderful, and the response I got was great. So I did that for, I want to say, about a year or 2 years.
Right.
And then I went backpacking to find myself. We all do that, right?
Wanderlust.
Well, exactly. And I did the Amsterdam, Frankfurt, Thailand, Spain.
How long did you go?
I went for about 6.5 months.
Wow, okay.
And I was on my own and quit my job, sold my car, and that was an eye-opener. And I just realized there's just so much more out there. So came back and went into real estate full-time.
In this 6 months of exploration and like sojourning, which I think is really, it's cool. It's like out of a movie almost.
Yes.
And so what were some of the adventures that you had, and what are some of the epiphanies you had?
I just the people I met. The people I met on my journey is how it's what affects you. Just their story.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they there? How do they get there? Where are they going? Seeing a different side of the world, because I quite honestly never left Vancouver. I went to San Francisco with my family, and that was about it. Mm-hmm. It was my first time in Hong Kong. I also went to India and a trip after that. It really opened up my eyes to that. There's just so much more you could do.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was it, just the diversity.
Exactly. And the culture.
Culture is seeing things from different perspective.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct. Mm-hmm. Now ask me if I'll let my kids go. I don't think so, but it is. It's a culture, the diversity. It was so much more than what you're used to knowing.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously seeing those, you know, seeing things from a different perspective and then returning back home to use some of the things you've learned. So did you know you wanted real estate right away? Is that something that kind of...
Well, I had family members. My aunt, who was another very strong female influence in my life mm-hmm. was in real estate. Her, my uncle, who is like a second father to me, was in real estate. So it was always around me.
Sure.
And I always knew about it. And I explored it because I do open houses for friends and just, you know, hostessing and things like that, hosting open houses. But I knew that I wanted to do something that I could create, mm-hmm. something that I actually could make decisions and make impact. I mm-hmm. knew I wanted, you know, in my corporate position, I found myself to be behind a desk after a while. You weren't out in the front. You were now doing paperwork. You were mm-hmm. now doing, and that's not where I thrived. So I wanted to do something that I knew that it was in my control.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was in my control. I wanted to do something that I knew that I could create in my own hands. And so I said, let's do this. Let's go full time. Mm-hmm. And when I entered the business also, realtors couldn't have part time.
Yeah, you had to go full.
You had to go full time. You're all in or no, right? And I believe it's something that we should bring back, to be mm-hmm. quite honest. If I were to make changes, I think it really, everyone around me who were realtors were so focused on their business.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really inspiring.
So what assumptions did you have before coming into real estate that you may have been proven wrong with?
Oh, geez. That you can go for lunch during the day and make your own schedule. I just want to tell everyone out there right now, if you want to become a realtor and you think it's because you can make your own schedule, it's absolutely not true. It's a complete myth. And I think that was a big one. It was like, I can make my own schedule.
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly, I was going to say that too, because I was like, oh, I don't want to like have to come into the office at 9. And
correct.
I think Jess and I are here like at 8 all the time.
Yeah, exactly. You're not. Yeah. You know, and you're at the office till 11 o'clock, right?
Exactly.
And you know, and now with the smartphones, you know, you have your phone next to your bed, which is like the worst thing to do, I've been told. But it's never off, right?
Yeah.
So that is, I think, one of the biggest myths.
Yeah, you know, I think so too, because that was one of the big reasons why I started to mm-hmm. get into real estate as well. It's like, oh, freedom of schedule and everything, and I'm so bound.
Yes.
But you know, I'm really happy that, you know, obviously we've been able to go through this. So obviously that's a huge assumption.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we were to like turn back the clock, Jess, and we're like, okay, 17 years, we're like going back in time. It's like Back to the Future.
Okay.
Like, you're having a lunch with like your getting started, Jess. Like, mm-hmm. what would you guys talk about?
Oh, wow. If knowing what I know now?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Oh, man. I think if I knew what I knew now, I would have, well, I'm really happy that I started with a mentor. Like, I started as an assistant. I think that, learning, going, you know, having that type of support and learning the good habits off the bat
mm-hmm.
was a big part of putting me on the track that I am on how my business is ran. That conversation would have been asking the questions like, you know, will I have vacations? What's my schedule like?
Mm-hmm.
I think now going back knowing what I know now is just to say, let's have fun with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you know, I think I would have planned better. I think mm-hmm. I would have, you know, a lot of agents come into this business and like you said, like, okay, I don't have to clock in, I don't have to clock out.
Right.
But I think I would have did a better business plan. Mm-hmm. I would have had, you try all these different things and you waste about a good year or 2 years trying all these different, think I would have just planned better. And that's one thing that you do great, Michael, and here at Oakwin with the university
mm-hmm.
and with new agents that come in. But I just think having a plan, and if you divert from that plan, that's okay.
Right.
But what is that saying? If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
so I think that's what I would have done looking back now.
Mm-hmm. So, how did you meet your husband?
Oh, jeez. You don't want to hear this story.
No, I do want to hear it.
We're gonna edit this part at the club.
Oh, no.
Actually, even worse. My husband, I actually knew him from mutual friends.
Okay.
I actually knew him from mutual friends, and unfortunately, it was my best friend's mom's funeral.
Oh.
That we connected at. See, I told you you didn't want to know this story.
That's morbid.
It's better than a club, right?
Totally.
But it was a celebration of life.
Okay.
And we were out, you know, having drinks and dinner, and that's how we met, and we started dating, and the rest is history.
So Jose is, you know, obviously not of the same cultural background
no,
as
he's
you,
not.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So how is that mixing and that intermingling of you know backgrounds?
Oh, that's a great question. Oh, his family is absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. So Jose's background is he's Filipino, and they also have Spanish heritage behind them. His mother, unfortunately, just recently passed away, and the moment I met her. She has been a huge influence also spiritually. She had a very strong faith, and mm-hmm. And she's just such a positive ray of light. His family, being a single child, mm-hmm. he has a brother and a sister who I've taken on as my brother and sister, and can call on any time. The culture, I've learned about, you know, the food is amazing.
Yeah.
And just everyone's just very... You accept each other for who they are,
mm-hmm.
right? There's no, you're
there's
peeled.
There's less judgment.
That's right. You're just completely peeled and raw. And
right.
And that's when those relationships are the best,
yeah.
when people know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been wonderful.
That's great. So like, you know, obviously, just that whole thing of being a single child and kind of getting these brothers and sisters and things like that. Do you keep your... Like the people that you grew up with, the people that you kind of started with, do you keep them really tight and close to you? Or?
You know, I'm very proud to say my closest group of best friends and girlfriends I've known since I were, my best friend, I've known her since we were in grade 4.
Oh, wow.
So our group of girlfriends are very close, have been part of my life since I was 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to friendship and relationship, these are the people who make up who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So the loyalty part, Michael, when you talked about,
yeah.
that comes into place,
mm-hmm.
you know, support. We've gone through marriages, weddings, funerals. We've gone through births and deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that also falls into how I develop my relationships with my clients.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my clients, too, I've met with and got them a loft on Main Street,
mm-hmm.
When they were single,
yeah.
and you know, in the early 2000s.
Sure.
And then Jessica, I met a guy who wanted to buy a 2-bedroom condo,
right.
and then we go from that. Hey, this guy's not in my life no more. I met another guy, and
yeah.
I want to buy a townhouse. Like I've had clients that I've bought and sold with from the moment they were single to now having 3 kids, and they're now gone from a loft to a beautiful house in you know in the suburbs or
mm-hmm.
in East Van. So. That loyalty, that support, just goes throughout my whole life, just
mm-hmm.
from when I was a childhood, too.
So what's one of your favorite client stories? Like, what's, like you don't have to name
good
names.
Good ones or bad ones?
No, like anything.
One of my favorite client stories. Oh, wow, there's some really great ones. You know, I would say one of my favorite client stories is I met a client at an open house,
mm-hmm.
and she came in, and she knows who she is if she's listening to this. She came in and she asked me some hard questions,
right.
and she was, you know, very friendly, but she knew what she was looking for, and I could tell she had some very high expectations.
Yeah,
and so I answered her quite honestly, direct, everything, you know, that I would do as a realtor. And she called me, I think a couple months later, I would say, or a month later, and she says, I've been to so many open houses, I've spoken to so many realtors, I want to call you and ask you if you'd meet with me, because I'd like you to be our family realtor, because you were the only one that I felt that was looked me in the eye and
mm-hmm.
told me not what I wanted to hear, but the facts.
Right.
And since then, this client I've helped... her daughter, her niece,
mm.
I've helped her in-laws, and it's grown, and it's gone to a referral base of, I think, up to 10 clients.
Wow.
And every time I meet with one of her referrals, they always say, if Sherry gives you the approval, you're going to be okay. So, you know, I think I'm really proud of that. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud that she has that trust in us. And so I think that's a really great way of how realtors should approach this business, is to look at the long term, to look at not just the short term. Am I just going to sell this home? But, mm-hmm. you know, what is my reputation like, and how am I perceived, and how do I want to be perceived, and who am I?
Right.
So I think that did well for all my goals in real mm-hmm. estate.
So there's clearly been an evolution, obviously starting in as a assistant and then being an independent jack of all trade realtor doing your, you know, everything. And then now we're here and Jessica leads a team. So what challenges are presented at each kind of level that, or in each change that we've had in our business?
Well, there's different ways of, if you're talking about changes in how your team evolves or does not evolve, or how the market is like, there's a couple ways of looking at it. Is, you know, what do, you know, it always is great to sound like, hey, I'm bringing more people onto my team. I want to make it bigger. But does that is that serving the purpose of your goals of how you want to develop your business? Mm-hmm. So you may get a team because you want to hit a certain number. You may get a team because you want to step back a little bit, right? I think that every crossroad that I've went to, it was, okay, I've achieved this. Where do I go from here?
Right.
And staying motivated and motivating the ones around you, I think that's a difficult part, because mm-hmm. sometimes you have your bad days,
right.
but you want to be, as a leader, you want to be strong for the ones around you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a hard part.
Yeah.
And I'm always constantly working on mm-hmm. that. I got to look for you for motivation on that. I think that is, being a leader is not just, you know, it's being compassionate about the people around you,
mm-hmm.
right? And building that loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that part there is something that as a team leader, we always constantly have to be working on.
Right.
And I recognize that.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, when you're, especially when you're running a team, or when you're leading a team, everyone, like, I talk to a lot of agents that have the teams. And I think, like, one of the things that I see as being very, very important and integral is that friendship, is the friendship that you have within your team.
Mm-hmm.
I did a pod with, like, Jill and Bridge mm-hmm. on my team, and I listened to it, and I was like, yeah, we sounded like friends, like old friends. And so I think that was a really great, you know, I think that's really important. And I think I don't really believe that you can externally motivate someone.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah, you know, maybe that's what I'm just talking about. No, I guess you're right. You know, you have to have it in you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a thing too. I think everyone has free will and choice, mm-hmm. and they get to decide if they're going to work hard or not going to work hard.
Right.
And you know, you set things up, the best way to set them up for success, and you can kind of see in themselves if they're willing to do more and if they want to do more, and you just see it, like, just by their actions. And so it's not really, I don't, you know, personally, you know, working at Oakwin and, you know, with my own my own resale team, and also just with the staff here as well, mm-hmm. like, people just show you what they want.
That's,
you know,
true.
And you basically you try to be a good steward and try to, like, set things up well and create a good environment, but then after that,
it's on,
you know,
them.
It's really, yeah. And you know, and asking really a lot of questions about, like, how can we make life easier, or, like, what could potentially be some, like, blocks or some things that we mm-hmm. can help to improve.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a little bit of a strange person. I like to see, I like problems. I like, mm-hmm. I like puzzles.
You like figuring those out?
I like mm-hmm. puzzles. I like mm-hmm. problems. Mm-hmm. And I like to try to find, like, solutions. I'm pretty curious. And so, like, you know, when I see, for example, a problem with motivation in this one key area, then I try to understand it from all different angles.
Right.
And then,
like, why is it lacking?
Yeah.
Where is it coming from?
Yeah.
Very good point.
And then, you know, it's really interesting. I just read this book. It's called Principles by Ray Dalio, and I've mentioned it a couple times on the pod. And he talks about how human beings, we're like creators, you know? And so when there's a problem, whether it's a like an actual machine that you build, like an actual machine that you actually physically build, or is it a construct that you make in your business, like mm-hmm. structurally or organizationally or process in a process, but you build some sort of like machine
mm-hmm.
that should solve the problem. So like a problem that like we had as human beings way back in the day is transportation. So like, oh, like we have to raise these horses, and so we're going to raise horses.
Yeah.
And they're going to it's kind of bad, but we're going to domesticate
them
and train them from a young age so that we can solve this transportation problem, because
right.
human legs can only go so far, but horse legs can go very, very far.
Right.
And then that changed to like, okay, horses are getting tired. We need to actually go further.
Right. Right.
So we build another machine, which is like an automobile
right.
that has an engine and so on and so forth. And and then you're just building machines to solve problems. And I think even in the real estate business, when you have a problem within your own business, you can build some structures, whether that's organizationally, whether that's process driven, to cure that problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, we try to address things in that manner. And it has a lot of challenges, obviously, you know, because with any change, typically you don't see impact and effect on it for quite some time, you
mm-hmm.
know, and sometimes it actually dips a little bit before it gets better.
Yes, I've witnessed that.
Yeah,
yes.
Like, you know, so you test it and hopefully it doesn't continue to dip.
Yeah. But it's okay.
Yeah,
the
it's
whole
okay.
point of it, it's okay. You have to embrace it because you're doing something.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You're doing something. You have
yeah.
to embrace it. Yeah. No.
Yeah, and you're just like, I always believe in just like the total truth. No.
Yeah.
And I made mistakes too, and like you were saying before about like just owning up to the mistake
mm-hmm.
that you make.
Mm-hmm.
I think that like that humble pie coming. That's cool that you actually
isn't
have.
That,
I really
great?
Like that idea. I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
I should start coming like that.
Yeah, yeah. It was really
yeah.
great, and the phone calls we would get from people, just saying, wow, this is. You know, this really stand out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the business side of it, right? The humble pie lands on your desk. Everyone asks you what it is. They
yeah.
share it. They talk about the company, and then the calls start coming in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was times where I would be at the baker's helping them do apples because
mm-hmm.
we would do huge Christmas orders
mm-hmm.
and prep those. And the whole concept of it was just awesome. Right,
mm-hmm.
and it's good. It's good vibes,
right.
good energy.
Yeah. So what does the future hold for Jessica Chin?
What
is the future like? If we're looking at a crystal ball and an ideal life, like,
can you share that crystal ball with me?
Yeah.
you know, I think the future holds is that I want to build a team that you know has. My team can get the same type, can develop their own successes, let it be financially, personally, family, and using our business, real estate, as an avenue to reach their goals. I want to be able to support them, to be able to, you know, to just say, why did I get into this business? Have I gotten there? And what's my next? For me personally, I want to keep working with the clients I've worked with.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that our referral business stays strong. And one of the big things that we've been doing recently is testimonials
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Google reviews and Facebook reviews. And I think that the future is people are going to look you up before they even give you a call.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we need to be aware that reputation goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to continue just doing great and being there for my family, too.
You know, that's a really great note. And just I was reading, was it reading or listening? So there's kind of a life cycle to human beings and a life cycle to businesses as well. Yeah, at first it's just like raw survival.
Yes.
You're just like, you know, and I think about Jessica's whole like trajectory of her business now.
Yes.
And then it's raw survival, and then it's like, and then it's a period of like thriving and,
mm-hmm.
and doing really, really well and expertise
mm-hmm.
and getting to, you know, that certain level. And then then it starts becoming contribution to others
mm-hmm.
where that's almost what you care about the very, very most is contributing
yes.
to the people that care about you, that have been with you for a long time. And how can you assist them in achieving their thing so that you're not alone at the top.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You want them to succeed in whatever, yeah, whatever their goals are.
Right. And, yeah, you know, it's really, I think that that's such a great note to finish off the pod with, Jess. It's been an absolute pleasure sitting down with you, getting to know you better. And is there anything you want to add, like, as a last note?
Thank you, Michael. This is actually wasn't as nerve-wracking as I thought, just because you're so comfortable. You make me comfortable. I think my last note for agents, new agents out there who are listening to this is, you know, you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. Keep working hard and just look at the bigger picture. And if you want to stay in this business, is just look further down on what you're doing today. It will result in something in the future. And then as an agent who's been in the business, who, you know, for a while and looking at Crossroads, or I would say, you know, constantly reinvent, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, like you said, when you reinvent, there's going to be dips, and it's okay because you're making a change. Right. You're doing something you're not comfortable with. Mm-hmm. So go for it. Go for it. And, you know, knock on those doors of the people around you. And you have people who are open and supportive. Utilize that.
Yeah.
Because it gives you energy. It gives you motivation. It gives bravery. Exactly. Yeah. So thank you.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for being part of the podcast today. And if you do not mind, those listeners out there, please rate, like, and subscribe to the podcast, either whichever avenue that you listen to the pod in. Hopefully you can put some more reviews on. I think I have 4 or 5 reviews right now, but I want more. But, you know, it's been pretty decent. We've gotten to, like, every podcast has a few hundred listeners, which is pretty crazy to think
about.
So, thank you guys so much for listening today, and have a great week.